Praise God. Thank you, praise team. You know, it's, first off, good evening. Good to see everybody. You know, it's good to praise God in the midst of the storm. We need to praise God even in the midst of the trial, the situation, the circumstance. When you praise God, you exalt the victory that you have in Christ. Well, Catherine started walking. Thought y'all might be interested to hear that. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. You know, it's funny when the light bulbs go on, she started walking. It's just like, what else can I do? What else can I do? It's fun sometimes. It's fun. Hallelujah. How many of you are thankful tonight? Thankful. So many things to be thankful for. I can go on and on and on about the things that I am thankful to God for. And again, even in the midst of, you may be going through something, maybe dealing with something, but I found that there is always something to be thankful for. And if you can focus on the good in your life and thank God for that, praise God for that, it really brings you into a place of peace, a place of rest, and a place of joy. So don't forget to thank God for all the things that he's done for you and all the things that he is doing. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, it's a good night to be in the house of the Lord. I'm going to share a couple of things with you, and then we will go back out to rule and reign and dominate in the earth. So 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your anxiety, or some of your translations say all of your care, casting all of your anxiety or all of your care on him. So we're told who the care should be casted on, because he cares for you. So God never intended you to carry the weight of anything. You weren't created to carry weights. You aren't wired to carry weight. And whenever you carry weight, it causes things to happen that should not happen, because you're not wired that way. God did not create you to carry weight. That's why he put the weight on Christ. Isaiah says, surely he has what? Borne. He has borne our sicknesses. He's borne our weaknesses. There's a reason that Christ bore sickness, because God never intended us to be sick. There's a reason that he bore lack. God never intended us to carry the weight of lack. There's a reason that he bore debt. God never intended us to carry the weight of debt. There's a reason he bore loneliness, because God never intended us to carry the weight of loneliness. There's a reason that he bore divorce, because God never intended for us to carry the weight of divorce. So anything that does not pertain to life and godliness, Christ bore. in his own body. He died with it and then was resurrected from it. And then he ascended to the right hand of the Father to ensure that we operate in it in this time and in this season. So he bore these things on our behalf. He bore stupidity on our behalf, and he crowned us with wisdom. Christ Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, right? So you're not stupid. You may have called yourself stupid in the past. Oh, I'm so stupid. Don't call yourself stupid. You have wisdom. Christ Jesus has been made unto you wisdom. So he has borne these things so that we should not bear them. Amen. So it's not God's intent for you to carry that weight. We have a song we sing. It says, lay aside every weight. We have another song we sing that says, I'm learning how to lean. I'm learning how to lean. We have to learn how, and it's a process. We have to learn how to lean that on him. You know, you ever been doing construction work or doing something in the garage around the house, get something heavy and you lean it on the wall? Why? Because that wall has the capacity to support what's being leaned up against it. You've got something around you where you don't have to bear that weight. That wall will bear that weight for you if you will lean it on that. So you're not wired to carry that weight. Jesus carried that weight for you. So casting all of your care on him, you have to cast it on him. The word cast here means to throw upon. We have to learn how to become good casters. It means to throw upon. It means to cast upon. So imagine a picture of me just, I'm just throwing it over. I'm just casting it over. I'm just tossing it over onto him. We've all had moments in our lives where we've encountered situations that seem bigger than us. Those situations where it feels like we just got punched in the gut and we take a deep breath. It feels like we just got punched in between the eyes. And it's, you know, you ever seen a boxer get punched real good? They kind of. But we've all dealt with situations that seem to be bigger than us, seem to require more money than what you had, seem to require more time than what you had, seem to require that you know more people than you know, seem to be bigger than what you were capable of handling at the moment. It's at those times that we have to trust God. It's at those times that we need to cast that weight on him, because there is no situation, there is no circumstance that is bigger than God. What's impossible with man is possible with God. So we have to learn how to lean that weight. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That phrase, lean not, means to support oneself. God has not called you to support yourself in Christ. We have a covenant. So in Christ, we don't have to support ourselves. That weight has been put on him. Let him deal with it. Let him handle it. Whoever said that the rise and fall of your family is on you? We sometimes take these things and we take these responsibilities on ourselves that God never intended us to take. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." When situations come, when cares come, and that word care there means distraction, something that would try to distract you. So he said, cast that care, cast that distraction on him. That care comes to get you to start thinking about it. When you're thinking about it, and by the way, thinking about it does no good. Okay? But when you think about it, then you're not thinking about the things you should be thinking about. That which is good, that which is lovely, that which is of good report. Meditate on these things, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We're told things that we should be meditating on, but that care comes to as a distraction. That word also means to have divided attention. You're now, when you take that care upon you, your attention, your energy is now divided. Because now your focus goes to that, because your mind goes to that, because you start meditating on that situation. And when you are focused on that and thinking about that, then you're not thinking about him. Therefore, at the moment, you're not learning of him. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle in heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I've told you before, if it's hard and heavy, it's not God. If it's hard and heavy, it's not God. If it's easy and light, that's what you want to take on yourself. If it's hard and heavy, cast that care on him. Let him deal with it. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He wants to make sure that you are casting that thing on him, that you are leaning the weight of it on him. Your job and the responsibilities of your job don't rise and fall with you. They don't have to rise and fall with you. You can cast the weight and the care of the things that come up at your job on him. Men, we are frequently faced with the challenge of taking care of our families. We should take care of our families. The Bible says that he who will not tend to his family is worse than an infidel. But somewhere, sometimes, we get it in our heads that that means that that responsibility falls solely with me. And so you feel the weight of what's going on at home, you feel the weight of the bills, you feel the weight of making your spouse happy, you feel the weight of making sure that everything is taken care of, and God has not called you to bear that weight. God has called you to cast it upon Him. Who told you that the success of your marriage was dependent upon you? Cast that care on Him. Trust Him with your marriage. Trust Him with your family. Trust Him with your kids. Now, I love to bless my wife. There are things that my wife wants. There are things that my wife desires. I would love to get those things for my wife. And I will. But it's not on me to bring that to pass. I can cast that weight on Him. I can lean on Him and put it in His hands and entrust it with Him to take care of my wife, to take care of my children, to take care of my family. There are some ministers who take the ministry upon their shoulders, and they feel the weight of that ministry. Sunday school class, youth ministry, ladies ministry, children's church, praise ministry, prophetic ministry, traveling ministry, responsibility, finances, people, attitudes, success. How are we doing? Who told you that you had to carry the weight of ministry on your shoulders? But we have some ministers who do that, who feel the pressure of the ministry, who feel the weight of what people expect of them, who feel the pressure of what their peers are doing that may be more successful or better than them. That's a weight that God never intended a minister to carry. There are only a few things God wants you to be focused on. Leave the rest to Him. You know, Martha, we all know the account. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and concerned and distracted by so many things. You are carrying a weight that I never intended you to carry." Mary has chosen a weight that's much easier and much lighter. She has chosen to sit at my feet and learn of me. There are only a couple of things that are necessary. And many times, we put weight on our own self because we're trying to do everything in life that we think we need to do or we think has to be done, and it's producing a weight in your mind, in your thinking, and in your body that God never intended for you to have, not realizing that there are just a few things that are necessary. You need to learn how to say every now and then, "I don't have to get this done today. I don't have to do this right now." There are some things that are much more important, namely your peace. And if that thing is causing anxiety and care and worry and concern in your life personally, on your job, in your marriage, in your family, in your ministry, it's not worth it. Nothing's worth your peace. There is no thing, there is no situation that's worth your peace. You need to be able to say, look, God, I'm putting this in your hands. I'm rolling that care over on you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to have my daily devotional. I'm going to have my cup of coffee, open my Bible, meditate some scripture, spend time in prayer, fellowship with the brethren, fellowship with the saints. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't handle my responsibilities, but I will do what God has told me to do and no more. I will go where God has called me to go and nowhere else. Anything beyond who God has called you to be, what God has told you to do, and where God has told you to go is going to produce a stress and a care that you don't need. Why go beyond your call? Why go beyond what God wired you to do? Trying to please other people, trying to make other people happy, trying to live up to family expectations, trying to keep up with the Joneses. We have to learn not to go beyond the calling of God in ministry, in finances, in family. What has God called your family to be? What has God called your marriage to be? Be that. What has God called you to do in terms of career or job? What has God called you to do after school? Do that. Do what God showed you on the mountain of prayer. Do what God has revealed in your heart. Anything beyond that, you risk producing an unnecessary weight and stress that God never called you to. So you want to make sure that you identify the few things in your life that are important. John Hendricks told me once, and I don't know, he might have heard it from somewhere else, but I heard it from him, so I'll credit him. I don't have any royalties, brother. But God and John, you see, he's telling me, always get your big rocks in first. Yeah. You know, in the context of that, you know, if you have a jar of a certain size, always get your big rocks in first. Because if you get all the small rocks in, the big rocks may not fit in. But if you get the big rocks in first, little pebbles can fit in the crevices and creases and holes, and you know, those can get in last. But always get your big rocks in first. Do the most important thing first. And if you have time, then you can deal with the smaller, less important things. But you've got to be able to identify the most important things for your DNA, the most important things for your calling, for who God has created you to be and what God has called you to do. Because if you don't identify the few things, and it's really only a few things, if you don't, then you're trying to do everything and you're getting caught up in pursuits and endeavors that God never called you to, and it's producing a weight. Now, the good news is that God can get you out of that, even if you've gone there. God can and will get you out of that. But ideally, if we can prevent going there to begin with, that's a little bit better. Wouldn't you agree? So we have to be, in talking about casting our care on Him, casting that weight on Him, we have to keep in mind that we don't want to produce unnecessary weights in our lives? Who told you you had to figure it all out? Who told you you were the one that if you don't, it's all dependent on you? That's what the devil will try to tell you. That's what your flesh will try to tell you. It's all on you. If you don't do it, everything's going to fall apart. If you don't take care of this, everything's going to fall apart. That's why we have a body of Christ with many members. And I think it's so sad at some churches where members don't do their part, don't contribute that thing God told them to contribute, don't add. The Bible says that we should bear one another's burdens. There is no reason why the weight of a church, a ministry, or a department should fall on one person. Not when you have a body. Not when you have other people around you. And it's such a blessing at our church to see so many people help. So many people get involved. I go to set up for youth ministry and excuse me, I got people who are not in youth ministry. Obviously, youth ministry helps get set up, but got people not in youth ministry getting youth ministry set up without being asked. They recognize a need and they fill it. That's why we have a body. God did not intend for the entire weight of the praise team to sit on Richard's shoulders. And it doesn't. It doesn't. Because he has members who support, who bear one another's burdens. Okay, so no matter what the devil told you, no matter what people told you, it is not all on you. It's not all on you. It was all put on him. It was all put on Christ. Even at work. Got a busy week. Lot to get done. It's all on you. No, Lord, you see what I see? A lot needs to get done. There's not enough time to get it all done. Somehow, some way, Lord, you are going to see to it that whatever needs to get done gets done, and whatever can wait till next week will wait till next week. I'm not going to carry the weight of that. I'm going to cast that weight on him. And if there's a problem in the family, in the situation, in the household, it's not on me to fix it. I'm going to cast it on him to fix it, and I'm going to focus on the things he told me to do. I'm going to celebrate him. I'm going to praise. I'm going to pray. Sometimes you need to go out and go to a nice restaurant. Amen. Go out to dinner. Well, Brian, I can't afford a nice restaurant. Sure you can. Go to Shea Mac. But sometimes you just need to step away from the fray and go do something that speaks to relaxation. Go get a burger, go grab your wife and go get some ice cream, go grab your friend and go to the movie. You just need to, because it helps keep things in check, to say, I don't carry the weight of life's responsibilities. Does not mean that I'm not responsible, don't get me wrong. It does not mean that I'm not a good steward over the things God has put in front of me. But I steward those things as he empowers me. I steward those things as he helps me. It is Christ in you who's at work in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So you have a greater strength and a greater power working in you to get that done. But the weight, allow that weight to be on him. That's why he bore it. So you don't have to bore it. And refrain from, there's enough weight that comes in just trials and tribulations. No need to add any myself. Come on. No need to add any myself. Okay. God has not wired you for that. Jesus said, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Who can improve their life one bit by worrying? Jesus said. Can you improve your life one bit by worrying? Well, Brian, I just want to think about it. I just got to think about it. I feel better if I think about it. No, you don't. You don't feel better if you think about it. My mama thought about it. My grandmama was a worrywart. It's just in the DNA. I just got to take thought. No. Jesus said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat and drink? Meaning, don't worry about that. Your focus needs to be on doing what God told you to do. You do what God told you to do, and if a situation arises, you pray, you listen in your spirit, you listen to the voice of God, and you do what God tells you to do in the midst of that circumstance, in the midst of that situation, to address whatever, but know that the weight is on him and he's simply directing you on what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. The weight is on him. Let's keep the weight on him. Well, Brian, that doesn't sound fair. God can't handle what? He done did. Cast all, not just some, not just a little bit, cast all of it. Yeah, that too, cast it all on him because he cares for you. He is a caring father who does not want you to be burdened by stuff, by mess, by tribulations. Oh, yes, the tribulations come. But even in the midst of the tribulation, Lord, I trust you. I'm relying on you. I'm relying upon your grace to walk victoriously through this. I'm relying upon your grace to hold things together and to keep things from falling apart. I'm relying upon you. You are my rest. You are my support. He cares for you. God has put himself in a position concerning you where he is for you. He has your back. He is for you. He cares for you. So if he is for you, everything that is in his power to do, he will do. And the great thing is that everything is in his power to do. Genesis chapter 22, verse 8. Let's go up to verse 2. Most of us know the account. God told Abraham, verse 2, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, go to the land of Moriah, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you." Verse 7, skipping to verse 7, Isaac said to Abraham, his father, "My father," he said, "here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" How many of you can understand the weight that Abraham was faced with carrying his son when the Lord has told him to slay him? That's could be a significant weight. But notice how Abraham talks in the midst of the weight that's facing him. Notice how faith speaks in the midst of the trial. Abraham said, verse 8, "God will provide for himself." Understand that the thing that you need is the thing that God needs to have in your life for his will to be done in your life. You think you're concerned about it. You think you just want it. But if it's a need, God will supply it for himself. He needs it to be in your life. You think you just want it in your life, but he needs it to be in your life. So he says, God will provide for himself the lamb. Obviously, this is prophetic. For the burnt offering. So the two of them walked on together. We know the rest of the story. Abraham's about to slay his son, and he sees a ram in the thicket. And skipping down to verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Who's going to pay for that? The Lord will provide. You know, I got a, Holly and I are in the market for a particular item. And Holly was out doing some shopping around, kind of pricing this particular thing. And I got a text message. I was at work. And she sent me a picture of this particular thing. And she says in the text message, "You know, I've been out pricing, you know, looking at, you know, what this thing would cost." And she texted me the going prices for this thing, which I had no idea how much it would cost. And she just kind of put the number in the text message. And I replied with two words: "That's doable." She replied back, "Did you see the number?" "I just want to make sure you saw the number correctly." And I texted back, "I saw it correctly." And then she texted me back this big old smiling face. I didn't say that's doable because I had the money. That's doable because God will provide. If it's God and if I need it, God will provide it. So I'm able to say that's doable. How are we gonna get this done? It's doable. You know, I've learned so much from our pastor, who can freely look into the eyes of financial challenges and say, "It's nothing for a stepper." Who can freely look into the eyes of financial challenges and said, "Hey, nothing, we'll get it done. We'll knock it out." His boast is not in his own resources or the resources of the church. You're not able to say that because of your own resources. You're able to say that because the weight is on him. The Lord will provide. So I was able to say, that's doable. Well, how? I don't know. I just need to say it's doable. I just need to say, we can take care of that. Even when the double take comes, did you see the number? You know, it wasn't, well, we can't go there. We can't do that. We'll come up with plan B. You know, we'll do something else. We'll do this. We'll do that. But, you know, can't go there. And that's where believers get robbed in fulfilling their destiny and their future and their calling, because they think the dependency is on them and what they can do, what they know, how smart they are, how they've been raised, who their family is. They think the dependency is on them. And so they settle for what they can do, instead of leaning that weight on him and confessing and saying and declaring, it's doable. I don't have to know how God's going to do it. I don't have to know when God is going to do it. My agreement is that it's doable. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that's how faith speaks in the midst of the storm. That's how faith speaks. It'll get taken care of. I don't know how. And everything in your senses may be telling you that's impossible. But in your spirit, because you understand and know your God shall supply all of your need according to the living standard of heaven, you're able to say it's doable. The Shunammite woman, her son dies. She goes to Elisha, the man of God, on a long journey. Elisha's servant meets her midway and asks her a question. Is it well? Is it well with your family? Is it well with your son? So many things want to come out of your mouth when you get hit in your eyeballs, when you get punched in your gut by the circumstances. There's so much that wants to come out of your mouth. You want to say what you see. Your senses want to say what you see. But how does faith speak in that very moment? She says, it is well. But your son just, this isn't a fairy tale, y'all. His son just died. How can it be well? It is well. It's well because I am putting this in God's hands. I'm entrusting God with this situation. Only because of that is it well. It is well. The Lord will provide. That's doable because the weight is on him. Don't get caught up in trying to figure out how it's going to get done. Instead, let God reveal to you how it's going to get done. You don't have to pay for it. The reason you're able to say is doable because I'm not paying for it. I'm relying on God to pay for it. Your wife wants something nice and expensive. It's doable. I don't know how. I don't have to know how. I don't know when. I don't have to know when. The Lord will provide. the weight is not on me. The weight is on him, and I'm going to listen and obey. I'm going to do the few things that are necessary for my calling, for who God has called me to be and what God has called me to do. I'm not going to get caught up in a whole bunch of stuff that robs me of my peace. I'm going to do the most important things first. I'm going to get my big rocks, get my big rocks in. Anything left after that, great, that's gravy. But I'm going to get my big rocks in first, do the most important things first, take care of my responsibilities, be a good steward of what God's put in front of me, and not worry about stuff that God is working in. Not worry about stuff that God has control and is working for my good. I invest my faith in him. When you make an investment, you put your money into a investment and you go to sleep while it works for you. I've invested my faith in him when this situation comes. So I can go to sleep while he's working things out on my behalf. That's my investment of faith. So tonight, the message is lean on him. Lean the whole weight of your life on him. Trust him to work things out. Even when you don't understand why it's happening, what's going on, even with questions circling in your conscience, make the choice to lean on him. And every now and then, you do need to express that attitude by doing something fun. When the situation says be depressed, go watch a comedy movie. Not a crazy comedy movie, but something to make you laugh. When the situation says you're broke and you can't afford anything, I'm not saying go write a check for money you don't have in your account, but if you got a couple of dollars, go get a milkshake. When the situation says you should be down in the dumps, go grab a friend and go do whatever your hobby is. When you rest, when you take a break, you're making a statement to say, it's just a checks and balance thing. You're just checking yourself to say, this situation wants me to spend my entire week, day, night, and morning, consumed with it. This situation wants my attention all day, all night. And the way I'm going to say that you can't have that much of me, you can't have that much of my thoughts, you can't have that much of my mind, is I'm going to step away. Well, you need to keep on working it because it's on you. You got to figure it out. No, I'm going to step away for a moment. Well, the world says you're crazy for stepping away for a moment. No, it's in God's hands. I'm leaning the weight on him. So I'm going to step away for a moment. And I want to go to a movie. This situation has been telling me I can't go to a movie. I'm going to go to a movie. This situation has been telling me I can't go get some ice cream. I'm going to go get some ice cream. This situation has been telling me I can't go hang out with my children. I'm going to go do something fun with my kids. The situation tells you that you can't do whatever you like to do that's fun for you. I'm going to go do something. I'm not going to let you consume me, my thoughts, in my life. I can do that because I've learned how to lean. and depend on Jesus. I've learned how to put the entire weight on him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We are done. Stand with me. Father, thank you, sir, for teaching us how to lean on you, how to lean on Jesus, how to cast care on you, Father, how to cast the weight over on you. Father, we thank you that you take care of us, that you know what we need even before we ask, Father, and that you are for us, Father, that you care for us, Father. And right now, Father, I agree with every person in here and under the sound of my voice that whatever care, whatever worry, whatever weight that's been assailing them, it is broken off of them right now, and that they have freedom and liberty to cast that care upon you and not worry about it anymore. They will do what you tell them to do. They will be obedient to your voice, but worry and anxiety and care will no longer be a part of the equation. They are free, 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 free. Father, we thank you and we celebrate the victory. We celebrate your provision, Father, your care for us right now, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, you are blessed. You are free to go. Have a great night and a great rest of the week.